I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lynn. The image of the shepherd is quite evocative in the history of salvation. All throughout the Old Testament and even through the New Testament, we get this great image of the shepherd. The problem, though, with the shepherd is something that Jesus is pointing out in our reading today. And it's this. All of the shepherds that have come before have, well, quite frankly, turned into thieves and bandits. Adam was given dominion over the animals. He was given the capacity to name all the animals, and all of this vocation of being the overseer of all the animals, well, it came crashing down when he ate the fruit. And if we go a little bit later, we get Noah, and Noah herded all of the animals into the ark, and he herded them off of the ark. And then, well, as Ed said, he went to the bar, and all manner of things came undone. And he sinned. And Abraham, well, Abraham, he was a shepherd as well. And God was entrusting him with the capacity to lead people and to begin to be the beginning of the people that he would shepherd. And well, Abraham tried to sell his wife to two people. In other words, Abraham sinned. And one of his grandsons, Jacob, was known as a great shepherd. Well, Jacob was also, quite frankly, well endowed with sin. And Moses, as great as he was leading the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea, he was in Midian because he killed a man. And all throughout the wilderness, the people rebelled against him and said, "Moses, why are we out here in the wilderness?" In other words, he sinned. And David, who was the greatest king of them all and the great shepherd of the people of Israel, he was a shepherd of sheep before he was king and a shepherd of the people after he was king. Well, David was a sinner. And in fact, all of the kings that came before him and afterwards were really, quite frankly, just lesser versions of David. They were all thieves and bandits in one way or another. Their humanity got the best of them. And this is what Jesus is pointing out. All of those people who tried to shepherd all throughout salvation history, all of them went astray and basically started working for themselves instead of working for God. They were thieves and bandits that tried to sneak in through the back door and take for themselves what was not rightfully their own. And of course, all of the prophets knew this, and the prophets kept talking about how their leaders in Israel, both the kings and the priests and the religious leaders, were all thieves and bandits, working for themselves instead of working for Yahweh. And what makes all of this worse as far as the human's capacity to be a shepherd is the fact that all throughout the Old Testament, we keep getting images of God as being shepherd. In fact, you heard it at the beginning of Psalm 23 today. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, that's the old version of the psalm. Psalm 95, "God loves us and we are his sheep in the palm of his hand." Psalm 100, "We are God's sheep and he feeds us." All throughout the Old Testament, we see the faithfulness of God as shepherd, and what we see in the world around us is that the shepherds are human, fall far short of the faithfulness and the lovingness of God as shepherd. And so Jesus is pointing this out. All who've come before me are bandits and thieves. Now, one of the things we have to realize with the Gospel of John is that John is not interested in writing another chronological story of Jesus' ministry. He's not saying Jesus went here and then Jesus did this and Jesus went over here and then Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. He's not interested. He's read the other three Gospels. He knows what they say. He knows we don't need to tell the story of Jesus in the same way we've done three times before. What we need is a story of Jesus that puts Jesus in the context of salvation history and all of cosmic history, right? And so when we read this passage from the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter, we also have to be aware of the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, ho logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, Jesus, the Word, has been there since before the beginning. This isn't just a man I'm talking about. This is something more than a man I'm talking about. And don't you ever lose sight of the fact that what Jesus is might be fully human, but it's also fully divine. In other words, John wants to tell us this cosmic story of creation and how God was up to stuff before all of us started mucking it up. What happened in the fall, all of the mucking up that's happened since then, and his great gift to us, Jesus Christ. So we have this great timeline of creation and the fall and all of us in the wilderness and then redemption and recreation in and through Jesus Christ. And also with that, he's also got the whole timeline of the Exodus and the people being in slavery, moving through the Red Sea and in the wilderness and finally to the Promised Land. And so what we have is, in some ways, the timelines of the cosmic salvation history and the timeline of salvation history for all of Israel become much more important than just the small timeline of what Jesus did in his ministry. And this is what's going on in this reading. Jesus is saying this. First of all, you need to know that since the beginning of time, people have been making a mess of it. And a person who is just a person is not enough to unwind all of the unfaithfulness and all of the hate and all of the bad things that humans do, no matter how much they've been authorized by God to author leadership for Israel and for God's people. And so even though David was God's chosen one, he's also a failure on some level as a human being. It's all right. He's human like us. But this is where the story gets interesting, because then what Jesus says is, okay, all those people who've gone before me, they were thieves and bandits, but guess what? I am here as the door. I am, ego me, ithiero, which is the door. I am the gate or the door. And all who come into the pastures that truly give them new life, abundant life, come in through me. And at the end of this gospel, he tells us straight, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, as we know, in the Gospel of John, we've got these numerous things that Jesus says, the I am statements. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am. Ego ami. That is the Greek expression for Yahweh. That is what is in the Old Testament at the burning bush when Moses asked God, who are you? In the Greek Septuagint, it says, ego ami. And John is picking up on this. When Jesus says, ego ami, what he is saying is very clearly, Yahweh is speaking here. This isn't just a person speaking here. This is Yahweh speaking to you. Yahweh, remember, the Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh, ego ami, is the good shepherd. Remember Psalm 95, the Lord as the good shepherd? Ego ami, I am the good shepherd. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, I'm not just another person sent to make Israel more mad and crazy and broken. I am Yahweh himself in the flesh. I have come here to liberate you from your sins and your brokenness and your unfaithfulness. I have come to show you what God's love actually looks like, what God's faithfulness actually looks like. I have come in the flesh so that you may see what it is that God desires for you in the flesh. In other words, there couldn't be anything more transgressive when the Jewish people heard what Jesus had to say. He wasn't just speaking in metaphors, oh, I'm the good shepherd. No, he was telling them that God was at work fully in him. I am the good shepherd. Yahweh is here just as much as Yahweh was at the burning bush with Moses. I am the good shepherd. Just as much as Yahweh was with David, I am the good shepherd. And even though the good shepherd brings us to the abundant life of green pastures, what Jesus does is turn that on its head. Oh, I am the good shepherd. But the good shepherd does not come to do just more of the same stuff that all of the other bad shepherds came to do. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. And so there will be abundant life in me. But just know that when you have the abundant life and you come and participate in my life, you indeed will also come with me to the cross. In other words, your life will never be the same if you come and participate in what I have for you. You can never stay the same once you say yes to the good shepherd. And so, Jesus has given us an image of who Yahweh is. Yahweh is the one who loves us and keeps nothing back. Yahweh is the one who gives himself up so that we might be loved. Yahweh is the one who steals nothing from us but gives everything back. Yahweh is the one who is the good shepherd who loves us so that we might participate in the love of God. End stop. Now, we get all of these I am statements really hot and heavy from here. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of these things are about to come at us fast and furious. But the last I am statement in the Gospel of John is when they come to arrest Jesus in the garden and they say, we are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And his response to them is, I am. Not I am he, I am. You want to arrest me? Just know you are arresting Yahweh here. Oh, we came for Jesus of Nazareth. I am. Jesus is declaring that the God from the beginning of time, who created all things in and through him, is here right now. Could there be anything more ridiculous than trying to arrest God? No, but we'll try it if we could. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the people. Amen.